Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Welcome to the Pro Football Scouting Show. We are your hosts, Steve the Scout and Austin Smith. And today we are going to be talking about yesterday I gave you guys round one and round two. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it, where I go and break down every single player in detail and the team that picked him. And I tell you, do I think it was a good pick? For the most part, I thought a lot of those picks were good. I thought a lot of teams made a lot of good decisions. There are definitely some bad ones that I disagreed with. Rounds one through two, if you go back and listen to those will go in a little bit more depth, because typically I know you guys want to hear more information on the players that are drafted higher. So we're going to go through rounds over the next couple of days. We're going to go through rounds three through seven. We're going to go through them a little bit faster. But we're still going to cover each player for you. And again, I am Steve the Scout, joined by Austin Smith. This show is brought to you by PigskinNut.com. PigskinNut is the football news that you've been missing. Check us out at PigskinNut.com, where you get coverage on every NFL team, every college football conference, the NFL draft, player profiles and scouting reports, fantasy football, and of course, PigskinNut Radio. So to hear our radio station, which is 24/7 football news analysis and coverage, all you do is just go to the PSN Radio tab on the right top-hand portion of our website. And again, that website is pigskinnut.com. Also, on social media, you can follow us in any social media account at pigskinnut. Austin, you know, we did so much talking before the draft. This is our first official show after the draft. And, you know, if I remember correctly, the last things I said to you was, I don't want the Giants to draft Daniel Jones at six. I'll break something and a little story for you. I know you were not on our group call on Friday night, but after they picked Jones, I was sitting in this same office chair right now, and I'm feeling better, but I did start screaming, no, no, no. And I pounded this chair right here, and literally both screws popped out of the chair and the arm fell off and during the call. So I ended up losing one of the screws in my head as well, obviously. Had to go to the Ace Hardware store just to find a screw to replace for this broken chair, all because of the Daniel Jones pick. But I'm okay.
I knew that that you were probably not going to be thrilled with that pick, but we've discussed it before the show was started here, and I think you've kind of found ways to find the positives in it, Jones. And, you know, hey, if we were all batting 1,000 here, we wouldn't be in the position we're in. We'd be in the New York front office or the Dallas front office or somewhere like that. So,
yeah. And look, at the end of the day, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. I have Dwayne Haskins as a better prospect, but it would not surprise me if Daniel Jones has the better career. And again, you know, we can only dig so deep from our end. You know, we have good opportunity to dig deep into tape because that's available to us. But there's more than that. It's the character and how you fit, and we can't determine that as well as these guys can. We just don't have the luxury to do so. So hopefully that'll work out. I think it will, but you know, it goes back to what we say a lot of these teams do is that, you know, we feel we have this every year, definitely quite a bit this year, where we have a number of teams that, you know, it's, hey, you know, that guy might be great as you're saying at the start of training camp, but we could have gotten him maybe a round later. I mean, we thought we saw a good bit of that this year.
Yeah, I always divide the players, and we'll talk a lot about that today, going through rounds three and four. There's always picks that I like, I don't like, and then ones that I don't like until about 3 months later when we get to training camp, and then you're excited to see how that guy fits on the role, and you realize the only reason you didn't like him in the first place is because maybe there was another player there that you thought they should have taken instead, or maybe they could have gotten him a little bit later or something to that extent. But, you know, that's the thing is the majority of the players I don't like fall into that category where by the time they get to training camp and they're with the team, you forget about who they passed on or where they took that particular player, and you just focus on the positive things that go to it. Because at the end of the day, you know, we scrutinize these picks, but, you know, like the Daniel Jones pick, he's in my top 100 prospects, so he's a darn good football player. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A guy doesn't make it into your top 100 without, you know, being a really talented player. So, you know, yes, we're nitpicking him and we're being, you know, we're scrutinizing him a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's still a darn good football player, and you get excited about him once the pads finally come on. So, you know, very seldom is there ever a pick that I just look at and I just scratch my head and say, wow, don't know where that one came from. Don't know how that's going to turn out or how that's going to work out in your favor, but we'll see. Who knows? Maybe we'll find one today.
All right. So we're going to kick things off actually with the end of round two. I actually stopped at Andy Isabella yesterday. I realized didn't have Juan Thornhill and DK Metcalf in there, but round two, pick 31, the Kansas City Chiefs took Juan Thornhill. They can always get better. They can always get better, you know, in the secondary. They added a piece in the offseason. For me, Juan Thornhill, you know, at the scouting academy, one of the things that I saw between safeties who are good and safeties who are great is most of the safeties who are great are very good angular tackles. I see him miss some tackles because he doesn't always take the best angles. But he is a guy, if you want a guy that can roam center field and be a ball hawk, Juan Thornhill out of Virginia is your guy. So he went to the Chiefs, round two, pick 31. Round two, pick 32, ending it there. The Seattle Seahawks took DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss. And here's what I'll say about this. DK Metcalf is very much an unproven commodity to me. Why? Because you only saw maybe about three or four routes that he consistently ran. Teams, obviously, they must have had a concern because of some of the agility drills. But at the end of the day, this is in terms of the fact that I didn't think he'd fall this far and the upside that he has. And who's throwing him the ball? If he's going to succeed, Russell Wilson is the perfect guy. Wilson has one of the strongest arms in the NFL, and in terms of deep ball accuracy, he might be my number one quarterback in the NFL. The accuracy in his deep throws is incredible. It's at the top of the class of elite. So what does DK Metcalf do very well? He's very good at taking it to the house because he has the physicality up front, and then he can also beat you over the top there. So we're gonna move on now to round three, and starting off with round three, we had Zach Allen out of Boston College go to the Arizona Cardinals, and here's what I really like about Allen, and I think this is a good pick because I always want my pass rushers to be high effort guys, and I want them to be able to win with power. You know, I think one of the things that made, you know, a guy like a first round pick, Brian Burns, not go higher, because I think he's got maybe the best get off in this draft, is he didn't convert the speed to power. Zach Allen is a good technician. I think he's going to get better, plays with effort. And at the end of the day, you know, he's a guy that'll hustle and make plays for you. And I think he's going to get better. If you want a guy that wins with technique and power, I like Zach Allen. All right, Austin, putting you on the clock here. So, the second pick of the third round, the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Deontay Johnson out of Toledo, wide receiver. What do you make of that pick?
You know, I initially I didn't exactly care for the value of it. I thought he was a pretty clear day three guy on my board. But, you know, it's hard to question the Pittsburgh Steelers when they take a receiver. We've seen them turn solid receivers into gold no matter what rounds they've taken them in. When you go back to Santonio Holmes, who was a first-round pick, Antonio Brown, a late-round pick. You've seen the Juju Smith-Schusters, you know, the Martavis Bryants. You've seen all these guys, you know, kind of turn into stars during their time in Pittsburgh. And even to a lesser extent, guys like Eli Rogers and probably James Washington, who's getting ready to possibly have a breakout second year. So, you know, you question the value, but then you realize it's the Steelers and you tap the brakes a little bit. What I see in Johnson, you know, watching him on film, I thought he was a good athlete, not great, a little bit on the smaller side. People made a big deal that he didn't test well at the combine. I'm not exactly sure how well they expected him to test. I always thought he was a guy that was probably a little bit quicker than he is fast. Probably a guy that can excel as a route runner at the next level. But, you know, what kind of upside is he going to have? I look at him to be more, like I said, an Eli Rogers than I do a Juju Smith-Schuster or replacement for Antonio Brown. That's certainly setting the standard way too high for a guy that I just don't know if the upside's there.
Okay. All right. Pick after that another wide receiver. I'll let you touch on that as well. Jalen Hurd out of Baylor went to the 49ers, round three, pick three. What's your take on that one?
You know, this one, I thought the value was a little better. I still thought Hurd might slide into day three. But I'll tell you what, a buddy of mine who is a diehard Tennessee Volunteers fan, you know, he asked me early on in the draft process, he says, "So, Austin, what do you make of Jalen Hurd?" And I said, "Out of Baylor." I said, "Bud, you know, I really stopped paying attention to him after he left Tennessee. I mean, I heard he kind of played a little running back, maybe even moved to receiver." He says, "Austin, he had a pretty good season as a receiver." So I went back and watched, and I got to say, the talent's there. I mean, this is a guy you'd be shocked at how naturally he catches the football for a guy who was a running back for the better part of his college career when he was at Tennessee. But man, the long arms, the comfortableness, the comfort level of extending his hands to the ball, you know, not exactly a polished route runner, but a guy that certainly has the ability to grow in that area, a very good athlete. And I'll say this much, when he gets the ball in his hands, he goes right back to those days at Tennessee where he was a running back. And he's a dangerous player. So, like that pick a little bit better than the Pittsburgh pick right before. I definitely see the upside in this pick.
All right. Well, pick after that. Round three, pick four. The Jets drafted edge rusher Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida. And to me, you know, this is a good value pick here because if you take away, you know, his combine testing and, you know, some of his inconsistent play, and you look at, okay, which of these edge rushers, when they're really showing me what they can do, who's impressing you the most? He's towards the top of that list. I mean, he's very impressive with what he can do. So, again, you know, I think this one, you know, it's going to be a bit of a gamble there. You know, at the end of the day, this is the NFL. We all know it doesn't matter how much talent you have. If you're not willing to work in this league, you know, and it's going to cap your productivity. I'm not going to name names, but how often do we see these guys come out of college and, you know, we think they're going to be some of the best ever. But, you know, they might make a couple Pro Bowls off their talent. But you know, I think with Ja'Kai Polite, you know, if he really works hard, he can be a special player. So, look, they obviously felt comfortable enough drafting him there. But I'll leave it at that. So pick after that, Josh, the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted Josh Oliver, tight end out of San Jose State. You like that pick there?
You know, I liked it. Jacksonville obviously needs offensive weapons. And obviously Nick Foles, you know, during his time in Philadelphia, he certainly he made a name, you know, of using all those tight ends that they have. I thought there were maybe some better tight ends on the board. But Oliver's definitely a guy that has a little bit of versatile traits to him. Probably a little bit undersized right now to be an inline guy that fires off the football and drives people off, you know, the ball. But he definitely has the frame to add on more weight. Solid athlete, not necessarily a great athlete, but a solid athlete. Wasn't necessarily used a ton in the passing game throughout his career. But this is a guy that's a solid prospect. And like I say, with a guy like Nick Foles, you know, having another tight end on board is always going to be a good thing.
Okay. Another tight end in Jacksonville, something they need there. I'll take the pick after that. After that, you know, the Rams, they took running back Darrell Henderson out of Memphis. And I'll tell you, I think this guy could be a sleeper to be in the rookie of the year conversation. He really could be. We haven't talked about him. You know, he doesn't get talked about all that much. You know, he doesn't get talked about as much as Josh Jacobs. But here's what I want to see for a rookie running back to have success. They have to be someone who is decisive when they run. I think Saquon Barkley, you know, he wasn't as decisive when he first started. I think, you know, he tried to make something happen, but ultimately, you know, you want your running back to be decisive, and you want him to have home run speed. And I think when you watch him on the tape, he's definitely got home run speed. He's got versatility as a receiver. He's just going to be a guy that I think is going to pick up a good amount of all-purpose yards. So in terms of a value pick there, you know, we all know that Todd Gurley, if he's not there, that team needs a running back to stay in the hunt. And really, because that offense without Todd Gurley does not work nearly as well. So I think, you know, getting another running back here, I'm okay with that.
That was definitely one of my best values in the third round. He was my second best running back on the board. So I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, to being objective, you know, I didn't watch as much tape on him until the end. And when I made my board for running backs, I started to watch him. I'm like, man, I actually have to have him ranked ahead of some of these guys. I'm telling you right now, I'm just calling it. You know, if Todd Gurley has a season-ending injury, don't be surprised if this guy's the rookie of the year.
Absolutely.
All right. So, you know, after that, you know, the Broncos took defensive tackle Draymond Jones out of Ohio State. Here's what I think of that pick. I think, you know, the Broncos definitely need more of a push, you know, up the middle. But, you know, he's going to win with speed. He's not going to win with power. Now we have to also remember this when we're judging Draymond Jones for not having enough power. In that Ohio State defensive scheme, it's about speed. So we can't, you know, we always talk about, you know, let's not criticize a guy for something it wasn't made habitual for him to do on a consistent basis. I guess I'll have to look at, you know, some of his combine numbers for bench and all that. But look, these guys gain weight when they go to the pros. They might be asked to do different things, and you see skill sets that'll come out that you know, we haven't seen. All right, so we're gonna move on to the next pick after that. Cincinnati Bengals. Austin, I'll let you take that one. They took Jermaine Pratt, outside linebacker from NC State at round 3, pick 8, which is pick number 72 overall. You like that pick there for the Bengals?
You know, I do. I only had, I believe, 5 linebackers in my top 100 prospects. I had the linebacker position being probably the weakest position in the top 100 in this draft. And especially when you consider that we were pretty certain that Devin White and Devin Bush were going to go in the top 10. You know, the idea that there's only three others that I valued, you know, in the top three rounds was certainly, you know, it certainly put teams that wanted a linebacker, you know, in a tough spot. With Cincinnati, they needed a linebacker. And I'm pretty sure that they were hoping that a guy like Devin Bush would get to them at 11, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers jump them. And now, you know, that they don't get their guy. So for Jermaine Pratt to fall to them in the third round, I thought it was a terrific value. I think this is a guy that makes plays, you know, all over the field. He's a very underrated presence on that defense. Obviously, the year before, they had a ton of talented defensive linemen there. So I definitely think that's a very good value pick, and a pick that they need, that where they had a need at the position.
Okay. So Austin, he likes the Jermaine Pratt pick. All right. What do you think about David Montgomery going to the Bears? Because look, in the offseason, here's what it just scratches my head. I still don't get why they're willing to let Jordan Howard go for a fifth round pick. I just think he's worth more than that. But what do you think of them taking Montgomery from Ohio State there? They got Tariq Cohen there. You know, is this a guy that's going to help balance that offense out with Tariq Cohen in the backfield?
Absolutely. Now, this, like the Daryl Henderson pick I talked about earlier, was one of my favorite picks of the third round. And it's funny because Jordan Howard being such a bigger back, you know, the NFL's just getting to a point where holes just very rarely get that big. I mean, these running backs have to, if you're going to run between the tackles, you have to fit in between. You have to fit those holes, you know. Very seldom do you get those holes that, you know, John Madden used to say you could drive a truck through. So, you know, I look at Chicago, and when they got rid of Howard, I said to myself, you know, they're going to have to replace that physical runner, because as good as I think Tariq Cohen is, he doesn't offer much in the physical sense of lining up and playing a smash mouth game, especially a game that sometimes is necessary outdoors in Chicago in December and January. So you take a guy like David Montgomery, who's one of the toughest running backs in this class. He runs low. He is not a lot of fun to tackle because he's just got natural leverage with how he runs. And he is a ball of iron. And I see a guy that very well could be, for all those fantasy football nuts out there, this is a guy who could step in immediately as the change of pace back to Tariq Cohen. And by maybe week 6 or 7, suddenly he's getting 50% of the snaps or more because they've decided he is our between the tackles running back, and Cohen is back to that receiving back, that gadget back that they've always put him in. I'll tell you right now, in the cold, in the windy city, in the cold of January and December, it is not going to be a lot of fun tackling David Montgomery, one of my favorite picks in the third round.
All right. So another running back, I'll take that one. So Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic, he went to the Buffalo Bills, the 10th pick of the third round, pick 74. He's in a hell of a running back room. You know, he's got two future Hall of Famers in that running back room, in Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy. I imagine you know Frank Gore, you know that personality. You know he's the kind of guy that'll take a guy under his wing and help him. Hopefully LeSean McCoy does that too. I heard he ruined Avengers, and good thing I have not seen it yet or seen his Twitter. So we'll save that one for another day. Now, I think Singletary, you know, what we're seeing with a lot of these running backs is I like for a rookie running back, you know, take the creases that are given to you. And this is a guy that he takes the crease that's given to him, and he's just, I think what impresses me the most is that He's good after contact, as a lot of these guys are. And he's got, you know, he's a guy that plays with good balance. I like him there because they really need a running back who's younger, and I think he goes to a great running back room there. What do you think of the next pick after that? We had Jay Sternberger from Texas A&M going to the Green Bay Packers at pick 11, pick number 75 overall.
Well, first things first, I think that I certainly hope that our producer, Josh Davis, is paying you well to label LeSean McCoy as a surefire Hall of Famer. But moving on from that, yeah, the Green Bay Packers, you know, Jay Sternberger is a guy that some people were bigger on than I was. I saw a guy that was a glorified wide receiver. I saw a guy that's not physical enough to play a natural tight end position at the NFL right now. He certainly has to get physical enough to get into his in and out of his routes with the strength of the linebackers and even the safeties in the NFL. You know, guys get into you while you're trying to run your routes, and it just takes your athleticism completely away. So I hoped that Sternberger would find somewhere where he wasn't asked to be the guy, like he might have been in Jacksonville, who we talked about a little bit earlier, taking Josh Oliver. Here, Green Bay still has Jimmy Graham in that locker room. He can still play the main role as the tight end in that offense. And so I definitely like the idea of getting Sternberger in, being patient with him that first year. Let's get him to the off-season program healthy. Let's get him in the weight room. Let's beef him up. And then let's see how him and Aaron Rodgers click year number two. So for the Green Bay Packer fans, I'll say this much. Be patient with this pick, because Sternberger does have a ton of ability as a receiver, you know, at the next level. But it may not translate immediately in the NFL. But if they'll be patient with him, if he'll commit himself to the offseason program in the weight room, then I tell you what, this might be a pick that we look back on and say, wow, that was a steal.
Okay. So we're going to move on to another pass catcher. Austin just went over Jay Sternberger, tight end from Texas A&M, going 11th in the third round to the Green Bay Packers. I and the pick after that was Ohio State's Terry McLaurin. I actually think I would have drafted him over Paris Campbell. There are certainly a number of receivers that I like over McLaurin, but I think at this point McLaurin's a better route runner. You know, he's got that top end speed. He's a guy that tracks the ball well. You know, look, he's still developing. But he's got, you know, he's certainly a burner. He's got, you know, I think he ran his sub 4.440, if I remember correctly. And he's a guy that I think he's one of these guys that he'll probably just keep getting better. He's showing signs that he still has a ways to go. And I think his ceiling hasn't even been close to being reached yet. I am sorry, Austin, but I got to take this next pick from I know you're going to want to do this one, but. I'll tell you.
I wore my New England jersey for a reason. It's because I thought New England dominated in round 3 and 4.
Let's do this pick together. Okay, so
yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, so I was really scared that I think a lot of teams felt this way, that we were scared that New England would take this guy, and I think there's a lot of people that have actually watched Chase Winovich play and watched him just as a character as well. I don't say character in like a negative sense, but you know, he if you want to talk about he's probably of all the pass rushers in this class, he's got probably the most infectious personality from what I've seen. He's probably the most infectious energy giver. And I'll say this as well. There might only be two, maybe three guys at most that I could say are better technicians than him. And to me, you know, this is a guy that I think will really fit the Patriot way. Now, he doesn't look like much when you look at him in terms of like a linebacker, but he did test well at the combine. And there's just a lot to like about his game from an energy and effort standpoint, because I don't know any edge rusher in this class that I see that gives his kind of effort down in and down out. I mean, he's got hair like Thor, but he plays like him too now. He, you know, has shorter arms than some of these pass rushers. I think in terms of physical gifts, he's got better physical gifts than what it looks like he has in that body. Maybe it's the hair that's given him some power. But at the end of the day, you know, I like this pick for New England here.
Oh, absolutely love it. You know, Chase Winovich, he's just one of those guys. And it's funny, we've kind of over the years of the Patriots being as good as they've been, we've kind of started to identify Bill Belichick guys and guys that, oh, that's a New England Patriot. That's a New England pick, you know, and Chase Winovich is one. And I mean, you know, between Chase Winovich and Devin Bush, they're half the reason I questioned Rashawn Gary in some of my evaluations of him. Because when you looked at Rashawn Gary and his effort on a play-to-play basis, which was up and down, and then you look at Winovich and Bush, who just fly to the football on every play, even if they are on the wrong side of the field, even if they are being blocked out of the play, no matter what, they are scratching, clawing, doing whatever they can to get to the football. And that's always been the way the New England defense has worked. It's a gang tackle mentality. It is a play to the whistle mentality. And Winovich has got that. You know, he's got position flex. He's a guy that can put his hand on the ground as an end on some downs. He's a guy that can stand up. You know, Bill Belichick loves these position flex guys. He loves to take advantage of them, moving them around. Winovich is going to be a guy that he can just get on the drawing board and find ways to let this guy loose and create havoc.
Belichick wants good football players, and he values technique over athleticism.
I agree. And that's Winovich, you know, he just fits the bill of what we've grown accustomed to when it comes to New England Patriots draft picks.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to start speeding through some of these a little faster. There's a couple of these that I still want to touch on a little more in depth. You know, let's talk about these next five picks real quick. So we had Michael Dieter, offensive guard, going to Wisconsin, going to the Dolphins at pick 78. We had David Long going to the Rams at pick 79. He's a cornerback out of Washington. And again,
Michigan.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many Husky players being drafted. I'm getting programmed to say anything at N with Washington. You know, it's so many of these Huskies getting drafted these last few years. Sione Takaki Taki. Okay. Should have read that a little closer. BYU outside linebacker. Will Harris, safety from Boston College. And then Nate Davis from Charlotte, the offensive guard, going to the Titans. Which of those picks do you have one of those picks that maybe is your favorite out of those five?
You know, I definitely like Long going to the Rams. You know, Aqib Talib, he wasn't healthy last year. You don't know how much time he's got left in the league. Marcus Peters, he has really fallen off the last year or two. You know, you just don't know what you've got at corner in that room anymore. And David Long is a physical guy with long arms. Those Michigan corners, boy, they put them on islands and they tell them to compete. And so, you know, this guy is used to, you know, to being out on an island by himself and having to win and having to stick to players. So I was a big fan of that one. You know, this Sione Taki pick, I like it. Didn't necessarily love the value, but I will say this. The Cleveland Browns need a strong side physical linebacker that can play well at the point of attack. And that is exactly what Taki Taki is. There's not very many linebackers that come out anymore in the draft and are those guys that are great at taking on blocks. They're great at getting off blocks. They're great at, you know, at identifying the football while they're being blocked and then disengaging and taking the proper angle. You know, that's not the admirable traits that most linebackers shoot for. They want to be the run and chase guys, whereas this guy is a take on blockers, force it the other way, and if you do continue my way, I'll disengage and come to you. That's what talkie-talkie is. And for a team like Cleveland, who saw their run defense take a bit of a step back this last year, this is a guy who could step right in and be an impactful presence in that run defense.
Okay. So we're going to move on to Justin Lane. I like the Justin Lane pick. Justin Lane from Michigan State going to the Steelers at pick 19. I mean, you know, he's a prototypical long corner, good instincts, and I think he's another one of those guys that you know, he's got great size, and you know, I think he's gonna get better with coaching. And they need a cornerback in Pittsburgh. I mean, don't they? I mean, you know, you look at Joe Hayden and was it Artie Burns? Who's the other cornerback?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you add another cornerback there. That doesn't hurt the Steelers at this point. I don't think it.
You know what? I'll agree with you there because I love Justin Lane. The only question I had about this is Pittsburgh is still in that zone dominant defense that they like to run, and Lane being a guy that at Michigan State ran quite a bit of a man coverage. He hasn't been playing corner very long. He was a receiver early on in his career at Michigan State. I just kind of questioned the fit. I was like, you know, this is a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience in zone, and he's still learning the position. So, you know, I really kind of questioned, you know, is this a guy that I think can have as good an impact as he could in a place like Seattle or maybe San Francisco or even Dallas, where they're looking for guys with his skill set, tall, lengthy, athletic, can flip their hips, you know, that it kind of that press bail system. I thought he would fit better into something like that. But Lane, definitely a terrific football player. If they'll be patient with him, that pick's got a chance to be a home run.
Yeah. And absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, look, Joe Hayden's always a great guy to have in that room too. You know, I know you did too, but pick round 3, pick 20, pick 84 overall. God, that's a great pick getting Kalen Saunders from Western Illinois, because let me tell you, the thing with Saunders, and I'll let you comment on this one too, because I know you're big on him, but he'd get double teamed and he'd still wrap up the ball carrier. You know, I don't know. You know, Dexter Lawrence I sorted from two, but Kalen Saunders is another guy where you'd see them. You know, just he'd get double teamed, but he'd still get an arm there and take down the ball carrier. And here's the thing: when people say, "Oh yeah, he's a run stuffer," I think he's a pass rusher too. People say I've read some scouting reports. People say, "Oh yeah, he has decent upside as a pass rusher." I think he's got more than decent upside as a pass rusher. When you see him shoot the gaps, he does it quickly, very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and here's the thing: people always wanted to paint him into that one technique role because a shorter, squattier player. And I'm like, guys, I get the power is there, but the explosive first step is there too. I mean, you're not kidding. This guy, when he's asked to shoot a gap, he'll shoot a gap. I told people, guys, this is a guy that's a little bit of a combo player. He could play a one technique or a three technique in a four-man front. And, you know, it's funny because Kansas City is kind of transitioning from that odd man front that they used to run to now a little bit more of a hybrid style scheme. And I really think that Saunders is going to be extremely valuable in that. A guy that you can that can play both positions. And my goodness, when you look at the possibility of having Chris Jones and him on the interior on pass rush downs, I mean, these guys can create a lot of problems inside. Absolutely. I thought Saunders had a chance to be a top 40 pick. So the idea of them getting him at 84, I love that for Kansas City.
Yep, me too. You know, let's go to the next. You know, we'll go to the next five picks, and we'll kind of talk about our favorite picks from that. We'll you know, when we look at the next five picks, Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech going to Baltimore at pick 85, or pick 2185. Cahal Waring, the tight end from San Diego State, he went at pick 87. And then we had Damian Harris from Alabama. And by the way, Cahal Waring, he went to the Texans, by the way. Damian Harris, I think a good pickup for New England there, from running back from Alabama. He went there at pick 87. And then we have Cody Barton, the outside linebacker from Utah, went to Seattle at pick 2488 overall. And then we had Bobby Okereke, am I saying that right? The outside linebacker from Stanford, went to the Colts at 89. You have a favorite pick out of those?
Man, you know, it's a tough bunch, because I think a number of them have a chance to really pay off well. You know, the Baltimore pick, Ferguson, it's funny. You hear some of the questions about him coming out of college, and if you think back long enough to when Terrell Suggs was coming out of Arizona State, there were questions about just how about him, his limits as an athlete. You know, that could be a spot that really felt to me like an Ozzie Newsome pick. The Ozzie Newsome used to, if they were a darn good football player, regardless of the workout numbers, Ozzie Newsome was going to put a check by your name on his board. I really felt like Ozzie Newsome might have phoned that one in from wherever he's retired to. I love the Cahal Waring pick. You know, a ton of upside. Houston is looking for more weapons in that offense. And if they'll be patient with him, similar to what I talked about earlier with Sternberger, this is a guy who can really, really grow into a heck of a football player, because he's a heck of an athlete right now. And he's got tremendous size. Obviously, another reason I'm wearing New England today is because that is an outstanding pick. A versatile player that, honestly, I think is an upgrade over what they were getting out of, and now is, of course, his name would escape me now, the running back that they got from Cincinnati. It's funny because he grew up about 15, 20 minutes from where I grew up. But bottom line is to pair him with Sony Michel and then have James White as well, that can fill in as that little pass-catching back that they love to use. They have got a heck of a tandem of running backs in New England. The Cody Barton pick made me scratch my head, but the Bobby Okereke pick, I loved that pick out of Stanford as well. He really showed up at Stanford. This kid's got incredibly long arms for an inside linebacker, and it's funny because he's one of the more trustworthy tacklers in this class as well. And the idea of pairing him with Leonard from, you know, the year before who they drafted, Darius Leonard, that might be a very nice young set of linebackers to build around moving forward. So definitely quite a bit of value in each one of those picks. Like I said, if there's one I kind of had scratched my head to, I had Cody Barton as a middle of the day three kind of guy. Seattle tends to think out of the box. So, you know, I guess you just kind of have to trust them. Because once again, like I said with Pittsburgh earlier, Seattle thinks out of the box, but a lot of times they hit more often than they miss. So,
all right. And then I'm going to let you go on this one, because I think, you know, we're going to stick with the rule that you, I, and Derek had for our general manager mock draft. Hey, if it's our team drafting, all right, what do you think of Connor McGovern, the offensive guard, going to the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, on our Dallas Cowboys beatdown show that we do on the podcast, we talked about the possibility of hidden value in drafting certain positions for Dallas, because we've got so many players that are coming up for contracts and you can't keep them all. So the possibility of drafting a guy that could put a veteran like Lyle Collins, for instance, on the trade block, and you might possibly get a second or even first round pick for Lyle Collins on the trade market, and all because you drafted somebody here with a third round pick that allows you to keep your offensive line intact without him. That's exactly what I think this is. Connor McGovern, I had him being a borderline second round pick And he, you know, falls all the way to the bottom part of the third. This is a guy who could slide in at left guard, could move Connor Williams over to that right tackle, which obviously he was a tackle throughout his career at Texas. And suddenly your offensive line doesn't necessarily miss Lyle Collins moving forward. Also, McGovern is a guy with plenty of experience at center. If that shoulder of Travis Frederick's, if his shoulder is not 100% when this season gets going, which, guys, we're talking about Guillain-Barré syndrome with a nerve issue where you just don't necessarily know until you get out there and you see it. So, that's still up in the air. As much as Cowboy fans want to just write it off that, oh, you know, he's working out now, he's fine. Guys, until we see him on a football field in pads playing at the level that he's capable of playing at, then we don't know. So I love the McGovern pick. There's insurance at the center position. There's the flexibility to move Connor Williams to right tackle. And like I say, capitalize on the value of Lyle Collins because – yes, you can get a third or fourth round compensation pick for him if he leaves in free agency, but you could also, for a team that didn't solve all their offensive line woes, he can play right tackle. He's played guard in his career as well. You could very well get a first, second, or even a third round pick that would be much higher than the compensatory pick that you get. So I love the value of it here.
Oh, okay. Pick after that. So you like the Cowboys pick there.
Oh,
so
pick after
that. Hey, and look, it's amazing how all they've done is add depth to the offensive line, but they keep needing to add depth. You have the things like the Travis Frederick or another guy goes down, but, you know, the Cowboys have proven that continually drafting for depth on the offensive line is smart thing to do. All right, so the pick after that, Miles Boykin, wide receiver from Notre Dame, went to the Baltimore Ravens at pick 93 overall, which is pick 29 of the third round. Miles Boykin, wide receiver out of Notre Dame. The Ravens are here's their philosophy. It's Lamar Jackson or bust. We want to try to put as much pieces around him as early as possible to figure out, hey, how is this Lamar Jackson experiment going to work? I like the fact that Lamar Jackson is committed to his craft as a quarterback. I always thought, and this is kind of going off on a tangent, that his accuracy can be fixed because I think a lot of his accuracy comes from too narrow of a base. But you look at what the Ravens did in the first round. Lamar Jackson's a guy that is going to make his living extending plays. Marquise Hollywood Brown, I think, is the best wide receiver in this class at extending plays. But you give him a much bigger 6'4" change of pace receiver and Miles Boykin. Austin, what do you see as the ceiling for Miles Boykin?
Oh, he obviously he proved at the combine that his athleticism is, you know, toward the top of the class. I didn't see the same player on tape, I'll say that much. But then again, Notre Dame has gone through a number of different quarterbacks, during his time there. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's a chemistry thing. Maybe there's other factors that go into it. I didn't see the same player on tape, but I will say this about the Ravens. They made one thing clear in this draft, and it fits well with what Lamar Jackson is good as. Lamar Jackson is one of the fastest players in the NFL. Marquise Brown will be one of the fastest players in the NFL. If Miles Boykin can start getting to where that athleticism we saw in the at the combine shows up, he's one of the fastest athletes in the NFL. Oh, by the way, a little bit later, we'll talk about Justice Hill, one of the fastest running backs in this class as well. This team decided they want to be fast on offense. And let me tell you something, they are collecting speed like it's going out of style.
Okay. Yeah, they are, and this is you know, I like, you know, the Ravens they lost some key pieces, but they got some key pieces as well. Hayden Hurst will play this year, so I mean he's gonna have, you know, out of nowhere the Ravens are gonna have some weapons to throw to because you line up Miles Boykin, Hayden Hurst, Marquise Hollywood Brown. They got some guys for him to throw to. Okay, So looking at, you know, I'm going to quickly just go on the next two picks after that. I'll take the Giants one, of course. I like Jamal Dean for Tampa because they're another team that really needs a cornerback. And then when you want to look at Jamal Dean, you know, the thing that I always want to see, thing that I really like to see with a lot of cornerbacks is a guy that has good timing when he's closing on the ball, and I feel he's got that. He's also long, so he really wins with his length. I like the pick for them there. The next pick after that, and the Giants took Oshane Eximus, and I'll just call him the X-Man because that's what they called him at the press conference. I did not watch any tape on him before the draft, I'll admit. He's a small school guy from Old Dominion, and when I watched the tape after the draft, I've just watched one game, so I still got to go and watch a little more, but I'm going to take it because the Giants picked him. I see a guy that really does have very good upside. I think in terms of his ability to bend around the edge, I don't see him do it that well now, but what he does is he does win with explosive power and, you know, the couple pass rush moves, the slap swim move that he's got. He's got a bull rush too. He wins with those moves. I think, you know, if you're looking for, you know, and again, I'll know more when I watch more tape on him. I've just watched one game, but I see a guy that, you know, when you want to look at a guy that can win with power and a few good pass rush moves, I'm seeing some good upside from this guy.
Let me just chime in here, cause I did do quite a bit of research on Ximénez because I thought at one point he might be a possibility for the Cowboys. He is one of the few defensive ends in this class, similar to Brian Burns, and really, I guess I should call him edge rusher, that actually does have that first step juice to be able to win around the edge. There's not very many guys that have that juice to be able to just flat out get a good jump and immediately put the tackle in a bad situation. And you know, he's one of them. So there, he does need, have a lot of things he needs to grow on. He definitely needs some seasoning, but you know, he's got something that you just can't coach as far as that ability to just flat out win right from the get-go.
Well, I'm definitely going to do more homework on him. He's going to be on my team, and that gives me a chance to plug my podcast. So, Austin, I have a podcast that's coming out. I'm telling you about it now and whole free world. It's called Scouting Giants. So I will be doing some more homework on him for sure. I really want to comment on the Dawson Knox one because, you know, we talked before about who are players that get your attention. You watch tape on one player, and then you start to really notice another player. And, you know, watching a lot of tape on Ole Miss, you know, I really, you know, and by the way, Dawson Knox pick here is the Bills took a tight end. They could use definitely a tight end for Josh Allen. Dawson Knox from Ole Miss, they took him at pick 96 overall, pick 32 of the third round. And Knox makes plays. And I think he's one of those guys that I talked about it before, someone who's still developing, but I just feel that he's got a really good ceiling based on what I'm seeing on the tape so far. He makes some great catches. He's, you know, I've seen him make some drops here because I studied him more after I started watching these two, but you know, he's really a complete tight end. He's a good blocker. I think he's going to get better as a route runner. He's 6'4". And he'll be a good red zone threat and a guy that I think, you know, by year three, you know, might start to have some Pro Bowl potential. I really think that he got undershadowed because there was just so much focus on those two other receivers. Do you like the upside from Dawson Knox?
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I always, you know, usually when I come up with a scouting report for a guy, I like to go and maybe before I make it public to read what some of the other scouts that I like to follow thought about him just to see if there was something I missed. And it's funny, you read what a lot of people say about Knox, and it was kind of similar to me. It was the same question. Why didn't they give him the ball? I mean, this is a guy that, and I get it, A.J. Brown, DeMarcus Lodge, D.K. Metcalf, I get it. But, you know, but my goodness, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, you'd see things from him, just huge flashes, and then he'd disappear for a good part of the game. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, maybe the quarterback wasn't as comfortable throwing to the tight end as he was some of those other, you know, big receivers they had there. But my goodness, Dawson Knox was a heck of a football player when given the opportunity. And you know what? In Buffalo, I don't see why he's not going to be getting plenty of opportunities to play right away. I definitely see some upside from him.
Yeah, I do too. Another weapon for Josh Allen. You know, look, with these young quarterbacks, I think if you're going to draft a young quarterback, you got to go all in. You know, I think you draft a young quarterback, you know, who's got a big arm like Josh Allen. You put the pieces around him and give this a fair shake to see, you know, can he develop. So looking at, you know, the last picks, you know, the last six picks of the third round, the guys we saw got drafted there. Bobby Evans, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, went to the Rams at pick 97. Quincy Williams from Murray State, the safety, went to the Jaguars at 98. Mike Edwards from Kentucky, the safety, went to the Bucks at 99. Will Greer, quarterback from West Virginia, was pick 100, went to the Panthers. And if we look at the pick after that, pick 101, another guy, man, some of these guys are hard to say. Yadni
Kajusta.
Kajusta, okay, very good. From West Virginia, offensive tackle, went pick 101. And Alexander Madison from Boise State, the running back from Boise State, went to the Vikings at 102. I'll say, you know, there's a couple of these guys I have not watched tape on, but I'll tell you. I'll say this, don't sleep on Will Greer, because to me, I've looked at all the quarterbacks in this draft, and Will Greer might be the most accurate. And I'm dead serious when I say that. The ball placement that Will Greer had on some of his passes blew my mind at times. It really did. Yes, he doesn't have the ball doesn't rip out of his hands the way it does with a Drew Lock or a Dwayne Haskins. But when you look at Greer's ball placement, especially over the intermediate part of the field, it's pretty impressive. And that's why he was able to win as a gunslinger is because of that ball placement. He's a guy that'll take some risks. I think, you know, Will Greer mechanically can stand to improve a little bit. You know, he does some nice things with his feet, but if you look at Will Greer, you know, he's got a little bit too high of a release point for me. He doesn't drive his hips into the throws that the way you'd want to see. But looking at the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton's coming off shoulder surgery. It certainly affected his velocity last year. I'm going to really tell you that Will Greer is a more accurate quarterback than Cam Newton. But I think, you know, if Cam Newton, I mean, if his shoulder is still giving him issues this year and he's not playing well, I don't think Will Greer is going to come in. But if Will Greer gets a chance, he might surprise people his rookie year, just because I think his ball placement really is special.
Oh, I definitely agree with that pick. Of all those picks, the Will Greer one's the most intriguing, because we don't know about Cam Newton and his health situation. So, I mean, the truth is, you know, Will Greer could find himself, you know, playing meaningful snaps in training camp and possibly looking to win a job in week one, you know, if Cam Newton's not ready. So the Kajusta pick, the very next pick to New England, you know, it's funny because the one thing he did a ton of at West Virginia was pass protect. I wouldn't say he's the best athlete for a left tackle, you know, may have to move over to the right. But the bottom line is New England's gotten by with tackles that aren't necessarily the best athletes. Trenton Brown was not the best athlete. Cam Fleming, Marcus Cannon, these guys are not Hall of Fame you know, all pro names, but they got the job done there in New England, mainly because Tom Brady knows when to get the ball out quick, and that can slow a pass rush up just as much as a terrific blocker can. So, you know, that's a guy that's got some potential there. You know, you want to talk about guys that you don't haven't necessarily watched much film on. I'll just say this. I had, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 names on my spreadsheet that I'd at least watched one tape of. Not all of them did I watch, you know, four, five, six tapes on, like my top 100 guys. But I certainly saw at least one game of them. And let me tell you right now, Quincy Williams from Murray State, I believe it was. Isn't that correct? Murray State, the younger brother of Quinnen Williams, or older brother, actually. I can't tell you. Bottom line, he's the brother of Quinnen Williams. No idea who he was. Did not have his name on any of my sheets. He's one of those that when it happens in the seventh round, you're kind of like, well, somebody just took a flyer on a guy. When it happens at pick 98, it really makes you scratch your head and say, okay, somebody must know something that we don't. Because, I mean, when he's not on a list of up to 400, that really makes me scratch my head and think, man, either I missed something or somebody just flat out knows something that the rest of the NFL doesn't. Because I was pretty shocked to see Quincy Williams' name from Murray State come up at 98.
Okay. Well, that's going to wrap up everything we have for round three. We'll be releasing our round four recording as well shortly, which is actually going to be part of the show at Pigskin Nut Radio. So stay tuned for that. Pigskin Nut is the football news that you've been missing. We'll talk to you guys in just a bit for round four.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.